Okay, so I could stay where it's comfortable, or I could take a jump into the deep end. So you can probably guess where I'm going to go. No, that's your department. I didn't join the Marine Corps because I like to stay safe. All right. Revelations chapter 1, verse 11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in the book, send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Samaria, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. That's the commandment that God gave him to what he sees to write in a book. So he's writing these things that he has seen, that God is showing him. And jump down to I'll start in verse 17. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he was laid his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid, I am the first and the last." This is Jesus. "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, the things which you are, and the things which will take place after this." He says, write the things that you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place. So John, in the book of Revelations, is writing the things that he has seen. So that's past tense, the things that I have seen, which are, which is present tense, what he is seeing, what he does know, and those things which will come. So things in the future. So when you're reading Revelations, there's past, present, and future involved in it. In John's timeline. And in ours. That's an aside. That's not really the point. But he says, "I have the keys of Hades and death." Jesus has the keys of Hades and death. "The mysteries of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands are the seven stars and the angels and the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." What does that mean? I don't know. There's the seven churches. That's what I know. Well, why is there only seven? I don't know. It's just seven. God hasn't given me a revelation on that. I'm sure there's some significance. But I haven't been given the revelation of that. It's the thing about revelation. It's like you don't know until you know. You just don't know until you know. You can make something. I can make something up about it. Well, you know, seven. Seven is God's number for completeness. I don't know if it is. So, there's people who do numerology stuff. And so this is about the completeness of the church. So this is about the complete church. Come on, I'm just making stuff up. I don't have a revelation. What is a revelation? It's a knowing of what is true. What is truth? You know, there's a lot of people today who don't have revelation about their own identity. They're confused about what they are. We had a wonderful conversation on our way up here, tongue in cheek, about the LGBTQ S2. As 2S, so now they're adding 2S. You know what the 2S stands for? Two spirit. What? Yeah. They're adding two spirit to it now. And it was the Trudeau, President Trudeau in Canada, who in a statement was saying that. Yeah, sorry. You know, I know. I don't know what's wrong with Canada. So. But the S2 is two spirit. It's like, no, that's a demon. Yeah. If you're saying I have two spirits, I can say you have a demon. Yeah. Why? Because I know what the Word says. I have revelation in the Word that tells me a man only has one spirit. If you have a second spirit in there, it ain't God. But they're confused about who they are. Revelation comes when we know the truth of what it is. It's not just making up an excuse for it, making up an idea. It's like there are people who have a revelation of healing. They know. They know and understand healing. There's people who have a revelation. We have a revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you ever try to talk to somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus? You get that glossy look? But when you talk to somebody who has a revelation, it's like, oh yeah, I love Jesus. He's amazing. And then he just leads you and guides you in your life and the Word. You read the Word and it comes alive to you. It's like we all understand that. Why? Because we have revelation. We have a knowing and understanding. We have an understanding, a revelation of the truth of it. There's people who have a revelation of giving. I have a revelation of giving. And I'm more and more, the more that I preach and the more that I study about it, the more understanding I have about giving. And you know what? You could not give, but you're losing out. There is so much. We close ourselves off so much to what God wants because we're unwilling to do the small thing and give. It's a small thing, but it's hard. Why? It's money. It's money. It's attached to us. We think it's the, in this world, it is the most important thing. It's what everybody strives for. So we need to not just have a knowledge of a thing, we need to have a revelation and understanding. It's just not knowing. It's just not saying, oh, well, yeah, I know about that. But when it's a reality, a revelation on the inside of you to say, yes, I know, I absolutely know this is what truth is. This is who I know, I absolutely know, without a doubt, who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He's in here. He's in my heart. Okay, so you're saying God's in you? Yes. How do you know that? Because I have revelation. Because of revelation. This is like, you know, a new believer can know that Jesus is on the inside of them without ever having read the Bible because they have a revelation. There's some people that have revelations without knowing the Word. So knowing is not everything to having an understanding, a revelation of knowing the truth. Do you know the world knows truths in the Bible? There's an easy one, karma. The world sees karma. You know what we call it? Sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Why is it when you talk to most people, they always say, well, I hope I've done good enough to get into heaven? Because they know, they see, they understand that we are going to have to be judged. Revelation. Is an important aspect of the Christian faith. Without it, then we just have philosophy. If we don't strive for truth, to know what is true, then we settle for what we think might be. It's like, well, I don't understand. You know, healing is it's a very controversial subject within Christian circles. There's a lot of churches that don't believe that. Oh, they believe that God can heal. They believe that God can heal. But they don't necessarily believe that he's going to. It's just whether or not he wants to. They don't believe that. There's a lot of places that don't believe that God has given authority to heal to us. There's a lot of churches that do believe that but don't see it. Why? I could give you all the answers. I know a lot of the answers that have been touted over and over and over again. Part of that is we need a revelation of healing. As an individual, you need, it's the same as you can't get saved unless you have a revelation of Jesus. You can't believe that you can lay hands on somebody and heal them until you have a revelation that Jesus is willing to use you. If you don't believe that you're good enough to be used, then God can't work through you because you're stopping him up. You're saying, God, I don't believe that I'm worthy. And Jesus is saying, I made you worthy. But I did this. Yeah, I took care of that. But I did this. Yeah, I took care of that. Remember those nails? Remember that cross? Remember the beating? I took care of it. But who am I that you should flow through me and touch somebody's life? Who else am I going to use? I'm not there. I don't have to read it. So John on the island of Patmos goes into the vision. He says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he says, I looked up and behold, I saw one as the Son of God. Where was he? He wasn't on earth. He's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. He's not on the earth. Why is he in heaven? Ever making intercession. Ever making intercession. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession. What does that mean? That Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. By his very presence, sitting there, he is saying, I have done what humanity needed to have done. I have paid the price. Everyone's sins are forgiven in me. Sin is taken care of, Father. You don't have to be angry with them anymore. I paid the price. Father just has to look over in Jesus and say, it's enough. The only way to get to the Father is through Jesus. Why? Because he was willing to pay the price. Because he was willing to do what nobody else was. Because he had a revelation that man was worth saving. And that revelation drove him to the cross. Having a revelation of God's purpose and plan is important because it's what leads you and guides you. Who are you? What are you? What is the reality of what God is saying to you? I'm going to read about these churches a little bit. I don't think I'm going to get to all of them. But starting in chapter 2, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. For those of you that don't know, Ephesus was a mega church. It was huge. So just, you know, there weren't house churches that he was writing to. They were mega churches or significant churches. These things he says, who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know the works of your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I would come to you quickly and remove the lampstand that's in your midst, unless you repent. But this, you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of of the paradise of God. Here you have a church. It's a huge church, and it's a church that's faithful to the things of the word. It says that they've tested those that come and say, I'm an apostle. And they've tested them, and they found that they weren't. But even in their faithfulness, they've fallen short. They've made a mistake. They've made an error. He says, you lost your first love. And I found it fairly often with churches that are very heavy on doctrine that I've been to. This is anecdotal, my experience, that a lot of times they can become a little dry. They can be a little cold, a little distant, a little impersonal. And he says, you've lost your first love. We can become cold and impersonal, distant if we dwell too much on making sure that we follow the letter of the law and the, well, this is right and this is wrong, and we can begin to distant. Do you think that's the new box?
No, because I'm not running anything
new. Is it me? Is it? I'll move my phone away then. Sorry. Said, easily distracted today. Sorry. So, where was I? Other than easily distracted. Become weary in doing well. And it's just like, right, dry, dead. And so it's like, when we become so word-centric and so concerned about making sure that our doctrines are pure, that we can lose sight of the fact that it's a relationship. It's about people. He says, you lost your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly. What's the first love? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Remember the commandment that we have? That we're to love one another. When we start interacting with people with how faithful they are to the word and doctrine, then we become like the Pharisees, and we start laying weights on people, never lifting a hand to help them. And he says, you know, we need to help people. We need to help them along. Not everybody knows everything, and just because you think you understand doesn't mean that you do. That's why we love God with all of our heart. And we follow him as an example. And we follow the word as the best of our ability, but always understanding that he's the one in charge. And he's the one that leads us and guides us. And he says this, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, not everyone who comes into church hears what's being said because they don't have ears to hear. If you're here, have ears to hear. Have ears to hear. Have ears to hear what God is saying. To him who overcomes. Overcomes what? This trap of becoming cold-hearted. This trap of letting doctrine become more important than people. This trap of letting our love from God grow cold, from turning from him and what he's called us to do. I'm going to skip over the persecuted church. and go to verse 12, the compromised church. And the angel of the church of Pergamos write these things. He says, he who has a sharp two-edged sword. I'm thinking probably not a good way that he's starting this. I mean, he's saying, I've got a two-edged sword. I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas, my faithful martyr, was killed among where Satan dwells. I'm trying to remember the exact. I heard another minister speak on this, and he was talking about where the throne of Satan is. I believe it was at the temple of Zeus was right there. The main temple of Zeus was there, and this guy was killed there at the temple. So he's talking about their pagan worship. But I have these things against you because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Sound familiar? I see some of that going on nowadays. Thus, you also have those things, hold to those doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I'll come to you quickly. I'll fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name will be written, which no one knows except him who receives it. That's pretty cool. He'll give you some of the hidden manna. Hidden manna. Some of that provision that not everybody gets. You know, you want the deeper things of God? Overcome. You have to overcome. If you want to know God more, you have to overcome. I mean, if you want to know Jesus, you got to overcome. You got to go overcome what? People's perception. You know, friends' inroads into your lives and saying, oh, you don't want to get involved in that kind of stuff. That's crazy. Jesus, whatever. We know. We know. We've been there. We've made that choice. We know what it's like. You have to make that choice to overcome. And because we overcome, because we come to a point where we're saying, I'm not going to let that stop me. I am going to follow Jesus. He has given us his Spirit. His Spirit now resides inside of us because we've overcome. And because we've continued to walk it out, we have overcome. God has revealed more and more and more and more from glory to glory to glory, because we overcome. Overcoming is an important part. But we overcome these things, these traps that the devil continues to set for us. And they don't stop. They're always there. And it's a continual overcoming. And here it says that just from our conversation this morning, I'm just like, crazy. Balaam was a prophet of God. And he went, the Balak, the king, sent for Balaam to curse the Israelites. But Balaam wouldn't do it. God wouldn't allow him to do it. There's a whole story. Go read it. It's fantastic. And so he ended up blessing him, and Balak got mad at him. But apparently Balaam didn't stop there. He didn't stop with being obedient to God. So what he did is he taught Balak for the people. He said, if you want to destroy these people, what you got to do is you got to get them to compromise. You got to get them to compromise. And so Balak sent in women to seduce the men of Israel to worship other gods and to commit immorality. And he did that, and then God got angry with them, and they suffered because of their sin. And so here we see the same kind of thing going on in a church, where you have people or ministers getting up and preaching compromise, saying, oh, well, you don't really need to do that. You know what? Homosexuality is fine. I mean, they're people just like we are. No, it's a sin. It's a sin. It's wrong. There is no place in the scripture where God encourages or condones that kind of behavior. And I'm going to take it a step further. Sex outside of marriage is not condoned anywhere in the scripture. It's like, we don't need to stop just at the evil stuff. The wrong, you know, it's wrong. It's destructive. We know it is. Because the word tells us. It's like he led them astray. And so he's saying, get back in line. I'm going to come against you. And this is an interesting thing. He says, I will fight against you with my words, my mouth. And he starts out with these things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. And he's going to fight against him with his mouth. He's going to send ministers to proclaim against them, to give them hard sayings, to speak the truth that they're not going to want to hear. And they will either have to accept it or reject it, and they will suffer the consequences because of it. And if we have ears to hear, we can overcome. If we have ears to hear, we can overcome. This is always the key. If you want to overcome, you have to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Why do we have churches? Why do we have churches? We could have synagogues. We could have temples. We have churches. Why do we have churches? Because that's the way that the Spirit of God designed us. It's the way that Jesus had us set up the churches. Why churches? Because this is the way God wants it. Why are there ministers in churches? Because God set it up that way. We have people that God has called to be overseers. That's what the scripture tells us. That's what Paul tells us. And that overseer is the one who oversees the church. Right? It's their job to make sure. I don't know how many people I tell this to, because this is one of the things I teach on. But you're going to hear it again. The overseer, the word, the overseer, bishop, that's translated, it says that to seek the office of the bishop is a good thing. The same word, the office of the bishop, is the same word that Jesus uses when he says to the nation, to the city of Jerusalem, if you had known the day of your visitation. The day of your visitation is the same word as bishopric. And it gives this connotation that the person who sits as the overseer is a person who is to prepare the house for the visitation of the Lord. It is my job to make sure that you're ready when Jesus comes, so that you don't miss the day of visitation. And I try my best, because I believe it. I believe it's my responsibility to make sure you're ready. And the things that I teach, I try to teach to the best of my ability, being led by the Spirit of God, so that you can grow and that you can enter in and overcome. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. There's a reason for the church. There's a reason for overseers. There's a reason for the fivefold ministry, so that they can speak into the church and minister life to you, so that you have ears to hear, so that you can overcome. And because you overcome, you get to eat of the tree of life. You get to eat of the hidden manna. And you get the stone that no one knows the name but you and God. Only, you know, God wants to give you a name that only He and you know. I should have underlined this, but there's other ones too. Let's see if I can find another one. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of God. And he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And then Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, my God, and I will write on him my new name. God will write his name on you. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. To him who overcomes. And I will grant and sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. What is God saying to us? What is God saying to the church? What is it that God's wanting us to do? What has God been talking to us about? Prepare for increase. Prepare for increase. God wants us to be ready for people to come into the church. I don't know, maybe you haven't noticed. It seems to get kind of nasty outside in the world. Things are looking pretty bleak. You know, when things get real bad, people start looking for answers. So we don't need to be worried about the bad things going on in the world. Because we know Jesus. And he has given us the ability to overcome. And we don't need to worry about that because we have the answers. Because it's in his word. It's the Spirit speaking to the churches, bringing forth his word, telling us what the truth is so that we can walk in revelation to know that we can overcome. Because the truth always overcomes the lie. The lie can't stand. The lie won't stand. Eventually, the truth will out. Well, I don't know. I do. I do know. I do know. The lies are I'm trying to think of an apt analogy. I can't think of one. It's like a little puffball. It just there's nothing there. They're clouds without rain. There's nothing there. But we can overcome if we'll listen to what God is saying. And I'm going to stop talking now. No, I'm not. We need to move forward in what God's calling us to do. We know that God has told us that he's bringing people into the church. We know that. We've had, not just me, but several other people have also given us the same word. God's bringing people into the churches. Yes. And we need to stand on that. And we need to start moving forward in that. With a full confidence and knowledge that God is moving forward. Yeah. And that he's bringing increase. So, things are going to change. That's ultimately what it means. And we got to be willing to change with it. We got to be willing to overcome our own preconceived notions and ideas of how we think things should be. We need to overcome our preconceived or personal predilections to not wanting to talk to people. Sorry. We need to be open, and we need to begin to get the heart of God for people to come into the church, knowing that they're messed up, that they've got bad ideas and bad doctrines, and not beat them down because they have these bad ideas and bad doctrines, but lovingly teach them the truth. It's like the people have been indoctrinated with years and years and years and years and years of bad understanding and knowledge. They're not going to change in a moment. We're going to have to endure with people. We're going to have to change a lot of diapers. We're going to have to wipe a lot of noses. Metaphorically. Metaphorically. But we can see God's kingdom grow amazingly and see the potential that God has in this world as people come in and they get right with God. God loves us. And he wants us to move forward in this. And that's what we're going to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for honoring us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you're showing us the way. Thank you, Lord, that you're drawing people into this church. Help us to be faithful to love them, to bless them, to minister to them, and to show them truth. And to be patient, to have your patience in us, to have your love in us, to have your compassion in us, so that we can minister your goodness in this world and into these people, and bind up the brokenhearted, and see them healed, healthy, and whole. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.